Greetings and salutations, everyone, and welcome to the Punch Sport Podcast. I am the Goog. Joining me this week, we have Hulkamat.
I'm back on the show. It's my second time back from my retirement. It's great.
We also have Kung Fu Grip.
Rest in peace, X-Bone.
And Mass Rafter.
I just got a fucking watering can.
I told you, dude!
Animal Crossing!
Okay, keep going, Goog. Don't stop.
We are going to jump right into the 10 count. If you have a question for us to talk about, you can email it to us, punchsportpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send it to us via Twitter at punchsportpod. Topic number one is a topic about tonight's Raw, and specifically the, what do you want to call it, the McMahon-Helmsley nonsense? Just the show started with Triple H coming out to the ring for a match with Curtis Axel, and he dominated for like 45 seconds, and then Vince McMahon came out, said, ring the bell, and they rang the bell, and the match, basically Curtis Axel beat Triple H three times, including beating him in an Iron Man match in 15 seconds.
No, that one didn't count. But I was really hoping Vince would, like, go back over and then be like, you're disqualified a thousand times.
Yeah, award 100 falls to Curtis Axel.
And then they would use that to really bad Curtis's that, act. Yeah.
Curtis Axel is 103-0 against Triple H.
Yeah. WWE, where the points are made up and nothing matters.
But what did this whole thing?
I honestly didn't see the resolution, but throughout the entire show, it was giving me those vibes of, I don't give a fuck about the McMahons and Triple H's relationship. Why is this on my TV in 2013?
Well, the resolution, I guess, was Stephanie McMahon orchestrated a meeting between the two, and they kind of made up, sort of, and then they were arguing about, they reversed positions where Vince said, you know what, Triple H, I'm going to give you the match. And Triple H was like, thanks, Pop, but I don't want the match now. So they were just arguing for the sake of arguing, and then they had an awkward group hug because they saw people pop for Kane and Daniel Bryan hugging and decided hugs are funny, I guess.
Everyone loves to hug. Ring of Honor has even gotten on the hug bandwagon by uploading a video they've taken down twice of Bryan Danielson and El Generico hugging. So, everyone's on that bandwagon right now.
I'm sorry, I thought funny didn't make money. I heard that somewhere.
Well, that's why they're giving it away for free.
Okay.
There you go. That was a good answer. Yeah, I don't even know where this leads. Is Triple H done now?
I think the end game, ultimately, is a Triple H Vince McMahon match.
Against each other?
Yeah.
No.
Or a like, tag team against Heyman and Curtis?
No. I think Triple H is done with Curtis Axel for now. Maybe.
Then why would he fight his father? How'd you come to this conclusion?
Because Vince is gonna turn heel and Triple H is gonna be the, well, Vince is already a heel and Triple H is gonna be the face, and I mean, I don't know why, but it's the only thing I can think of for what they might be building to.
I think this is their way to drop the angle in case Fandango can't be at the pay-per-view.
No, he can't.
Well, they've already announced that he can't.
Oh, I thought they were saying if that happens, if that was the case.
No, they're not letting him wrestle.
No, Fandango is out of the triple threat match and Curtis Axel is in.
We should actually talk about that. That's
well, we're going to be talking about the show, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, you're right. Spoilers.
I don't think they're building to Triple H versus Curtis Axel because they haven't presented Curtis Axel as being in any way capable of challenging Triple H.
That doesn't matter. He's challenging. It doesn't matter. He's challenging Wade Barrett and The Miz, so he can definitely handle his own.
Wade Barrett. He's going back to saying his name like that, and it's great.
Good.
There was a point on commentary where he just, like, slurred his name in the best way possible, and I just popped. And that's all I got to say about that. I mean, I really don't have a big opinion on where this... I think the angle's just being dropped. That's it. I think this was a way for them to go, we don't really think it's wise to have Triple H beat him, especially now. So let's just drop the angle for like the next 6 months. Maybe they'll come back to it in the future.
Okay. I'd be happy if that was the case because I really, really, really don't care about it. I just don't think they would be that quick to drop a McMahon's angle that was flopping as bad as this one is.
Well, things are going to happen in the future, I think, though.
I think McMahon's lately, when they're on TV, I think it's really just to pop a rating. Like, Vince will come back for a few episodes and then he'll disappear again.
And they haven't popped a rating this time, so.
Oh no, they actually got the lowest rating in a long time, but that was expected. I think they're trying to throw everything they can at the table, at the wall, I should say, so to hope that they do well against this playoff competition that's going on right now.
I guess.
Well, the playoffs aren't on tonight.
That's true.
Then fuck. Then I'm just a fucking wrongy McWrongerson, so.
Yeah, basically.
The wrongest motherfucker in this room.
Screw you, I won't grow apples in your town. Asshole.
I'm not getting that shitty baby.
I'm kidding. Okay.
What? He's the one who said that.
Yeah, I'm the one that said it, not
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything about your stupid opinions. So I really liked the angle tonight. I thought it was really inventive. I'd never seen, I don't know if it's good that I've never seen anything like that before, but I was entertained. And honestly, like, I think that this is sort of working. Like, I think it's kind of making Curtis Axel, like, I think it's kind of elevating him. It's not elevating him to the point where he's, like, on Triple H's level, but I don't know if that's the point.
It's just getting kind of, heat on him,
like,
I guess.
He's now definitely a bigger deal than he was a month ago.
Well, yes.
I'll agree with that.
He could be Zack Ryder and be a bigger deal than he was a month ago, though.
Yeah, but when I see him now, it's kind of like, you know, he is kind of at Intercontinental title level right now. And
okay, that's fair.
And I don't mean that as a slight on what a jobber Wade Barrett is.
No.
And I laugh when Wade Barrett said how he had been winning all of his matches with the title on the line.
Jobber. Yeah.
I heard that word before. That's a funny word.
What?
Jobber. It means the guy lose a lot.
Let's move on to topic number two, and it's another angle that I found really entertaining, at least more so than any angle involving the Divas in months, years, maybe. They did the reveal of the Caitlyn's secret admirer tonight, and it turned out to be Big E Langston, which I think most people had predicted, but then swerve, it was all a setup.
I liked that. I liked that a lot because in the beginning, it looks like they were teasing the Bellas were setting this all up. But then Big E comes out and you're thinking to yourself, well, this was my thought process. They're possibly turning Big E face because they teased it, if you remember, a few weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And I figured this is a, I guess, logical way to turn face because there's that heat between AJ and Caitlyn and, Big E comes out and he's trying to swoon her. He dips her. He's ready to plant a big kiss on her and then he just drops her. And then he walks straight to the back. What a piece of shit. And,
I'm kind of there with you. I thought this was another step in turning Big E face. And I was actually watching it with my sister and she was up in arms. She hated this whole thing.
What'd she hate about it?
She hated Caitlyn. She hated the way Caitlyn was acting. She hated the way
Caitlyn's a really bad actor.
Yes.
Actress, I should say.
Who hated Caitlyn?
My sister did.
Oh, okay.
And she hated the way Big E was being really aggressive with her. And then when he dropped her, she was like, oh, he's supposed to be a bad guy. That makes sense.
I thought Caitlyn's look of like disgust when it was Big E, I was like, so I saw a lot of people go, oh my god, Caitlyn, she's racist. She don't like the fluffy ones.
You know, part of me was thinking that too. She baby. Then she like just kind of like, I'm not supposed to be talking to you. Okay.
There's also the red herring of, like, I guess, Caitlyn dissing Natalya. Like, saying that Natalya's ugly and only creeps would like Natalya, like Kawaii. So I thought there might have been a swerve, huh?
Was that on SmackDown?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I heard about it, but... But really, it's not very often SmackDown's angles are acknowledged on Raw. So...
I mean, that's, hey, I think.
A SmackDown angle resulted in a tag team title match at the pay-per-view.
That was true. I was really surprised.
What a fucking, wow.
I thought they were just gonna redo the angle on Raw. At first. Like, cause that's what they do sometimes. They just redo the angle. They'll redo a match, they'll redo an angle.
I liked AJ's part in this whole thing a whole lot. I think everything AJ did, she did really well. And then when it was time to get physical, like when Caitlyn had finally had enough and started wailing on AJ, Caitlyn was really good at that.
Yeah, she seemed like she was very upset.
And the crowd actually got into it.
And the only reason AJ got away was because Caitlyn had to adjust her
skirt. She had to stop and fix her skirt.
Yeah. So that's
because her ass is like,
that's great for you. She wouldn't have gotten away any other way, so that's work rate for you.
Remember when Trish Strauss was really pissed about that on Tough Enough?
No.
Don't adjust your tights or whatever. That's not work rate.
I don't think that's what she said. I think she just said...
It's basically the gist of it. She was like, don't adjust your gear.
That's exactly what she said. I watched every episode.
Don't adjust your gear. It's weird. It takes away from the show and blah, blah, blah. And that's not how you really... That shows how you're not a good worker.
I mean, I thought, it was a really good angle for a division that's been dead for a very long time.
I think this did more to put heat on the Divas title match than any feud in, for a long, long time. I mean, maybe even since the Piggy James angle? Is that possible?
This is also like the first time I've ever taken Caitlyn's character seriously in any way, because before this it was just she's really bad, I don't give a shit about her, her matches aren't very good, she does an okay spear, but that's about it. This is like the first time I was like, aw, kick ass.
Yeah, you actually care about this and you want to see Caitlyn kick AJ's ass, but as we move into topic number 3, which is our predictions for Payback, I don't think it's going to happen. I think AJ's going to take the Divas title.
Yeah, me too.
KFG, MRT, any...
Wait, who's going to take what?
AJ's going to take the Divas title, true or false?
Yeah. I thought we were going to go in order and talk about who's going to win Damian Sandow versus Sheamus.
Well, we will. It's Sheamus. Just that presented a natural segue. But yeah, Sheamus is going to win that.
During Raw, Damian Sandow was out, and all I could think about was... He is Justin Gabriel, except a hairier version. Because he was, like, wearing Gabriel's gear.
Why do you say that?
It looks like he was wearing his gear, and he was out there, and I just kind of... I walked into the room, and I saw him from behind, and I was like, is that Justin Gabriel? Oh, no, it's just a larger, hairier version. Him, who does a little less flips.
Significantly fewer flips from Damian Sandow.
Yes. Well, no, he does cartwheels, though.
That's true.
Sheamus is going to destroy him in 7 minutes.
Okay. Tag team titles. Let's talk about that. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton team RKO, I guess?
That's a good name.
It is a good name.
Wow, what the fuck?
All right, predictions. Who wins?
I think the Shield wins.
Shield wins because Bryan and Orton are going to explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, face miscommunication, Shield retains.
Orton's turning.
Either Orton turns or Bryan turns, whichever Orton's one. Turning.
Hopefully Orton turns.
Orton is going to RKO Bryan.
I think that's true, but I don't think it necessarily means that Orton is the heel.
Orton is going to RKO Bryan during the match.
Hopefully.
That is my prediction. What about you, MRP?
Or maybe after the match.
Well, that can also happen.
Yeah.
Now, if you're wondering where Kane is...
I mean, he can also punt him, but I don't think he'll punt him. I think he'll RKO him.
Maybe, maybe he'll go for the punt, but Kane will save him.
What if Orton does punt him, and that fixes Brian's brain damage, or whatever's going on in his head?
Would it kick off his beard?
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's a topic for you.
He kicks his beard
off. Should he kick his beard off?
No, he should not kick Brian's beard off.
I think he should.
Kane and Dean Ambrose for the U.S. title. I think Ambrose is going to retain there.
What? Ambrose?
Yes. Kane is facing Dean Ambrose for Ambrose's United States title.
For some reason, you said Ambrose. I was thinking of Sandow.
Nope.
Yeah, Sandow's winning. I mean...
Wow. Wow.
You guys go on. I'm going to sit the rest of this.
Okay. So, KFG MRP, what do we think? Ambrose retaining the U.S. title?
Yeah. No way they drop it to Kane.
Okay.
Yeah, the Goog. They're really going to put the title on Kane.
We have...
What kind of an idiot thinks that? Why do you think they're going to put the title on Kane? Whoa. I see a Firefly. There's a Firefly in this game, guys. Fucking Firefly. This game is so cool.
Kane's a Firefly. He likes starting fires.
That's true.
He does.
Did you ever see that show Firefly, man? They canceled that show too soon.
Yeah, I didn't see it. It was only on for about 14 minutes.
Yeah, it really sucked.
What do we think is going to happen in Chris Jericho versus CM Punk?
I guess the main question is, does Punk show up first?
That's a pressing question. I would think just from how much they've built it, that they're not doing a bait and switch. I think they are going to have Punk show up, and if he does, Punk's going to win.
Punk keeps tweeting stuff that isn't wrestling related and makes it seem like he doesn't care at all about WWE, because like now he's like tweeting about how he was driving around town on a Vespa or whatever. I don't know.
I think that has something to do with this as an angle, but I don't know what the angle is. I think Jericho will win Actually, my official prediction is Chris Jericho does not lose a match.
Okay. Do you think Chris Jericho may have a match against someone who is not CM Punk?
Maybe? I don't really know.
Who would that person be, though?
Does he challenge?
Curtis Axel? Oh, wait.
I was going to say, does Curtis Axel win the Intercontinental title in his match, and then Jericho challenge right away for the title?
It's possible. I don't think Axel is losing a match either. Like, I think Axel is winning the Intercontinental title.
I feel like they might, like, move Jericho into a match with Ziggler after this.
Yeah.
But again, he doesn't really have to win to fight for that title.
That's true. I would think...
That is the Strikeforce title, after all.
I would think Punk beats Jericho, and Jericho transitions into a feud with Ziggler. You know, maybe I'm just not thinking creatively enough, but I think they're just going to do straightforward, they're bringing CM Punk back. And I have no idea what the plan is for Punk after the pay-per-view, but I really do think he's showing up and he's beating Jericho.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's like something weird planned here, and I just kind of feel like Jericho isn't going to lose a match to CM Punk. I don't know why I feel that way. I don't really care. I mean, I thought the segment with Heyman and Jericho was really good last week from what I saw, since I didn't have the sound on. But, like, they looked like they were doing a good promo.
Okay.
And isn't that all that matters in promos?
That's true. Now, here's a thought. Maybe if Punk doesn't show up, does Brock Lesnar show up?
They're not
nah.
so stupid that they would – have a guy they are paying like $1 million per pay-per-view appearance show up unadvertised.
Well, I'm trying to think. I don't think Axel's going to work two matches. And I think you're right that they wouldn't have Brock show up unannounced. But I think it's possible that if Punk isn't showing up, they might have Brock destroy Jericho. But
I guess they might, but. I don't think that's what they're gonna do.
Okay.
Maybe Heyman debuts another Heyman guy called Mike Mulligan.
maybe Mike Mulligan. Jericho will have to face, instead of a Paul Heyman guy, he will have to face a Zeb Coulter guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, German Nazi skinhead Antonio Cesaro.
Entirely possible, but...
Do you think they might, like, bring the wall back to life?
So nope.
That he can manage neo-Nazi skinhead Claudio Castagnoli?
Wait a second, I fast-forwarded through Cesaro's match. Is that what they're doing with him?
Zeb was really talking up how he respects Cesaro, and Cesaro's a good wrestler, and Sin Cara's a dirty Mexican who steals the jobs, unlike the good people Cesaro is from.
And he said that, like, Cesaro is from Germany or something, and he really respects people from Germany.
Oh, God. Okay, well.
Also, Michael Cole does not know what Puerto Rico is.
Yeah, he doesn't know what Puerto Rico is, but, yeah, like, Coulter was saying that, you know, he loves the Germans, and, you know, we may have had some issues with them in the past, but really, their heart was in the right place.
I'm going to choose to believe he didn't actually say that. What do we think for the main event?
Wait, what about Ziggler versus...
I thought we touched on that briefly. I think Ziggler's retaining.
What if Ziggler's brain dies in the middle of the match? Who wins then?
Then Del Rio wins, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Ouch, brutal. Yeah, so three stages of hell, right?
Yep. I think...
Guess who wins what stages, or like what? Like...
Okay. I would say Ryback is going to win the first one, and then Cena will win the next two.
Hmm. I feel like... I don't know who said it. I think Grody might have, he said, watch the end of the Lumberjack in a DQ. Like for Ryback or whatever. And
possibly.
Ryback wins like the whole, the rest of it or whatever. Or like Ryback gets DQ'd. He wins table match. He wins ambulance match. But then they go, oh, but the title cannot be decided on a DQ or some bullshit.
Yeah. No, I don't think they would do that.
They did that already though. Before. In the past.
Hmm.
For the Intercontinental title.
I don't think they would do that in this match though.
I still feel like they will probably try milking Ryback versus Cena. One more time.
I guess it's possible.
Because I don't see anybody really stepping up against him right now at Money in the Bank or whatever the next pay-per-view is.
Why not Randy Orton?
Why? Why would you want to put us through that again?
I would prefer John Cena versus Randy Orton to John Cena versus Ryback Part 5.
It's only part, well, I guess technically if your math is counting.
We are having parts 2, 3, and 4 this Sunday.
Hmm.
Match is going to be 45 minutes long and terrible. So
it's not
yes,
going to be 45 minutes long. If we're going to preview this show, we should be like doing predictions on how long we think that match is going to be.
Okay, the segment is going to be at least 45 minutes long. Like bell to bell. To bell, to bell, to bell, it's going to be at least 35.
I think it's going to be 28 minutes long.
Okay.
I'm going to back this up with something that I like to call evidence, which is going to be difficult because I can only type with one finger, but I am going to take a quick look at this entire card.
All right. Okay.
Because I haven't been paying attention, and I've just been spouting nonsense every time you've asked me for an opinion about one of these matches, and hopefully I've guessed right on the names of one of the people in the matches.
As you usually do.
So yeah, there's 7 matches on this card so far.
Uh-huh.
I think that main event doesn't go any more than 30.
Okay. KFG, what do you think?
I don't care about time. I just know that it's going to end before like 11.
Because
they always ends like 20, 30 minutes before the time limit ends on the pay-per-view.
All right.
That's all I know. I don't care how long that goes.
Okay. Do we all agree that Cena's walking out with the title?
It said there was going to be a fuck finish.
Well, yes, so. But do we think Cena's walking out with the title?
No, he's going in the ambulance. Didn't you hear what I said? Ryback wins the ambulance match.
Ryback wins the ambulance match but doesn't win the title.
Yeah.
I agree that there will be a fuck finish because I think that Giant Tiger is going to be involved and that it's going to be a literal fuck finish.
would you want to see Giant Tiger fuck John Cena Sr. to get under John Cena's skin.
Yeah, or at least say but only if it was leading to a match where Ryback would get the rights to fuck John Cena.
Let's move on to topic number four, and it is time already for the Wrestler of the Week. Our Wrestler of the Week this week is, well, he had about six names, but let's call him John Morrison.
He was always okay. I mean, he wasn't ever, like, the drizzling shits, like, that was offensively bad. And I always thought he would...
Well, give him a microphone, and we'll see.
Who cares about microphones? Who needs to be on the microphone? I mean,
yeah, you never interview or talk at all in professional wrestling.
Hey, John Cena still kind of sucks on the microphone, so, I mean...
Did you see
whatever.
John Cena's fucking awesome promo tonight?
Yeah, if John Morrison was as good on the mic as John Cena, he would be WWE champion right now.
That promo was fucking awesome.
Here's what I took from John Cena's promo. You poop a diaper and I wipe your poopy booty. And then Ryback started yelling at him to take him serious, and John Cena just went, shut up, stop ruining my fun. And then Cena said, how comes you're acting like a bad guy? You're better than this. And then Ryback said, fuck you.
I don't think you gave that promo the benefit of the doubt, because John Cena was fucking awesome in that promo.
I thought Ryback was much better in the promo, pointing out how much of a two-faced person Cena was.
But, oh yeah, once again, the quasi, like, insider comments about John Cena and blah blah blah. So fucking tired of that. But, I mean, Cena was really good. He had so much fire, way more fire than Ryback. He was way more interesting than Ryback. I mean, even his jokes, I mean, they were at least relevant, because Ryback is being a big stupid baby, because, you know, John Cena has to fucking overcome the odds all the time. John Cena's always fighting off, like, 10 dudes, and Ryback's like, oh, you didn't help me fight off 10 dudes. But, like, the fucking goons are always like, yeah, John Cena's a bad friend. But you know what? John Cena is always overcoming the odds. Like, people are always making these fucking jokes, but they're ignoring the fact that John Cena's a fucking man who stands up for himself. He's not a little diaper-wearing baby. And so this wasn't just, like, his normal poopy joke. You know, he was just calling him a fucking baby. Because, you know what? Ryback's being a baby. And if anyone would look at this storyline objectively, and would look at that promo objectively, they would go, man, that was a fucking great promo. John Cena was, like, taking this seriously. I mean, John Cena did everything people want him to do. He took it seriously. He, like, addressed the heel's issues. He was, you know, pretty likable. I mean, he was taking the whole thing seriously. And he was angry, and yet we're still hearing blah, blah, blah. John Cena is such a stupid jerk. I love the Ryback.
So, John Morrison was a lot better than The Miz, in my opinion.
Yeah, and John Morrison, the wrestler. Morrison was fine. He had bits of being entertaining.
He couldn't talk for shit.
No, he couldn't talk for shit unless it was, like, scripted and pre-taped, and even then he was kind of eh.
It was... Mr. Ziggles?
I think we're far enough out from now, I can say this, the dirt sheet was really overrated.
Oh yeah.
It was.
A lot of those WWE-produced internet shows were really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, Are You Serious and shit like that.
Hey guys.
What's cracking with Colt Cabana was good.
Hey guys. John Morrison could grate cheese on his abs, and he bedazzled his abs to look like a penis, so...
He literally could grate cheese on his abs. I have seen him do that.
Me too.
He probably still can.
I felt emasculated, though.
I'm a little surprised that he hasn't come back at some point, because he's seemingly on good terms. He's seemingly... You know, he still wrestles, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta remember...
That's John Hennigan or whatever.
You gotta remember, Melina is a part of that picture, and,
No, they've done. Up. They broke up a while ago.
Did they?
Yeah, Morrison dumped her because.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
He finally realized how badly she was hindering him.
Good.
He likes really rough sex, and unfortunately, when you're railing Melina, she's fucking like screeching.
Oh,
Jesus Christ! Come on, man.
You're like Melina with a micro.
What?
What?
Oh my god.
Cut down.
Yeah, I was gonna say earlier the swerve from the John Cena stuff that John Morrison has overcome some stuff. He's overcome Chris Benoit killing his family to put him over. Chris Benoit put John Morrison over, and if Chris Benoit didn't go berserk, John Morrison would never exist.
That's probably true, actually.
Yeah. That was, we wouldn't be talking about John
Morrison.
That was
such an awkward character change. He literally just comes out on ECW. I am not Johnny Nitro. I am John Morrison.
No, he had his agent come out first and announce it. And then he's like, I'm John Morrison. Not Johnny Nitro. Look to the past and see the future. Engage to the stars in the Palace of Wisdom.
Those Palace of Wisdom promos were also really overrated. Fact about John Morrison, whenever he came out, I would copy and paste something from a notepad that was like all psychedelic emoticons and it was all wonky and shit. Yeah.
Fact about John Morrison, most overrated wrestler in PSV other than Tajiri.
No. Slightly overrated wrestler, yeah.
Totally overrated wrestler.
By PSV? Fact about...
Yeah.
PSV hated the guy by the end. For a while.
Yeah, but they thought the fucking Palace of Wisdom was great. They thought the dirt sheet was great. They thought his ECW run was great.
Oh, I thought you meant just in ring. If you include how everybody loved all of that shit, then yeah, most overrated wrestler by PSP ever.
And, not ever, maybe. There's probably some others there.
Well, no, because Tajiri's more overrated.
Oh, I love Tajiri, but
hey,
yeah,
man.
I like Tajiri a lot, too. Hey, I was a big fan of Tajiri. I just don't think he's like...
Hey man,
Tajiri
pull off
a top 100 worker, let alone like a top 5 worker, like some people seem.
He's just a really fun wrestler.
Yeah.
Come on, MRT, are you mad that Tajiri can pull off a fedora really well? Come on. I mean,
but anyway,
I've seen the man.
I thought everything about the John Morrison character sucked. Like he was a terrible Jim Morrison impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess like if you're, you know, kind of familiar with the Doors, it's fine. But I'm kind of a big Doors fan. Kind of a jackass who's collected all the fucking, like, live concerts they've released in the last 10 years and all that shit. So I'm used to listening to, like, Jim Morrison, like, drunkenly blather on about, like, random shit. And John Morrison didn't sound or talk anything like Jim Morrison. He just looked a little like Jim Morrison, and then he dressed absolutely nothing like Jim Morrison. Like, I've said this several times, but if you're going to do a Jim Morrison gimmick, and you suck at being Jim Morrison, why the fuck are you still wearing your M&M pants?
How about the fact that he had Jimi Hendrix music instead of Doors music?
Yeah, his music was fucking terrible. Palace of Wisdom promos.
I don't know if it was terrible
garbage.
if his gimmick wasn't "Hi, I'm the Doors" instead of "Hi, I'm Jimi Hendrix" or whatever. It probably wouldn't have been decent, but
yeah, it was good for the it wasn't great for the gimmick, but just as on its own, I thought he had a really good entrance. Actually,
he would have been a much better Jimi Hendrix impersonator because Jimi Hendrix was kind of awkward on the microphone. If you ever listen to, like, Jimi Hendrix's crowd banter, he's saying some, like, really awkward shit, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Jimi Hendrix?
But was John Morrison black enough to pull off of Jimi Hendrix?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
If you had to choose between Miz being on your TV or Morrison right now, who would you choose?
Morrison, is it a promo or a wrestling match?
It's either. Well, it's either.
It's
I don't give a shit.
The total package.
The total package? I'll take the Miz.
I'll take Morrison. Fuck that. I don't want Miz's shitty ass baby face gimmick or whatever, where he just eggs people on and is a shitty ass fucking Miz still. He still acts like the same shitty Miz from his heel turn, except now he's just a big fucking sticks his nose in everything baby.
I think I may take Morrison just because at this point Miz is, I'm not a huge fan of his.
Taking Miz.
Really?
You want to know why I'm taking Miz?
Why?
Why's that?
Because either the match will be inoffensive and maybe even kind of decent, or he'll fuck up his figure four or fuck up something else in a really funny way. And like, I find Miz's botches funnier than John Morrison's botches.
I gotcha.
Morrison's botches are more dangerous looking.
You know what?
Yeah, that and it's like funnier to see goons complain about his figure four when like sometimes the figure four is totally fine and people are still bitching about it.
His figure four, or he's not crushing them with the Starship paint. Which one?
I don't know.
Yeah, if you watch a Morrison match, you have to be constantly infuriated that he wasn't using the super kick as a finisher.
Like, to me, John Morrison is basically the same exact wrestler as Kofi Kingston, except Kofi Kingston gets all of this shit, and, you know, people had a pretty good opinion of John Morrison. And even to this day, they might, you know, laugh at his promos or, you know, laugh at Starship Pain, but the overall impression people seem to have of John Morrison was that, you know, pretty good wrestler, where poor Kofi Kingston, like, Kofi Kingston, good guy, good wrestler. Although apparently a little too stiff.
Hmm.
But
it's funny how you mentioned how he, like, Morrison botches and he, like, never hits the Starship Pain. When the last few indie matches I've seen, he just completely nails it and crushes the dude with the Starship Pain. Like, I've seen him versus Steen, I've seen him versus Liger, and he just kills them with the Starship Pain.
For a long time, people would go on about how he's not crushing people. I guess we can wrap it up by saying Morrison's Royal Rumble spots were getting really fun. Wish he was back for those.
Okay, Kofi's doing them now.
Yeah, Kofi's
that
doing
is
that,
true. He is.
I was going to say, I had one more thing. Besides Rey Mysterio, John Morrison is known for only dropping titles and putting people over because he got wellnessed a lot.
You know what would be awesome?
This is why Punk got the fucking title.
What would be awesome?
If John Morrison was a Jimi Hendrix impersonator and Kofi Kingston was a Jim Morrison impersonator.
Oh my god.
Topic number 5 is a question from I before E. He asks, why are there so few evil twin storylines in pro wrestling? And if you could make one, what wrestler would have an evil twin? I think the first question is really obviously answered because so few wrestlers have identical twins.
Well, you can put on makeup. Look at Eddie Murphy.
Hey man.
And shit.
Hey man.
What?
Evil twin? Earl Hebner and Dave Hebner.
Eddie Guerrero and Hector Guerrero. They're equally charismatic and equally good on the mic.
They both look like they've been dead forever, but that's also...
Jesus Christ.
How does Eddie look these days?
He looks just like Hector Guerrero looks like.
Oh, that's pretty good, I've got to say.
Pretty good for his status, yeah.
What does that say about Hector Guerrero looking like
Eddie? What wrestler would have an evil twin? How about we give Randy Orton an evil twin and then Randy Orton?
So why? I like Randy Orton. Randy Orton's really good.
Why would you shoot Randy Orton?
Because then we'd only have an evil Randy Orton. And he'd have a goatee.
Randy Orton, I don't like goatees. I hate facial hair.
But you know what evil Randy Orton would do? He would be face just to fuck with you.
You know what evil Randy Orton would do? Be good at wrestling.
Randy Orton is one of the best wrestlers on the WWE roster.
Randy Orton is good at wrestling.
Then evil Randy Orton would be entertaining. Or is that just bizarro Randy Orton?
Randy Orton is very entertaining. He has the diamond cutter.
He has the diamond cutter.
Bizarro Randy Orton would be an entertaining wrestler with a terrible finisher.
Bizarro Randy Orton would actually not be injured a lot.
What if John Cena had an evil twin?
He'd still be a face. It'd be the two of them trying to see who could be the better good guy.
Well, if John Cena had an evil twin, since John Cena is actually a heel, then John Cena's evil twin would be a baby face.
Yeah, John Cena's evil twin would be the most popular heel ever.
He'd shake his head back and forth and go, look at me, I'm turning face. And just a mock.
Oh my god.
He'd wear bright, shiny colors and jump up and down saying, look at me, can you see me? You can see me, right? Come on, look at me.
Actually wears gear instead of shorts. His hair would always be down to his shoulder instead of a buzz cut.
Wait a second. The evil John Cena would be super lazy, never maintain a friendship, and have no respect for anything. I think the evil John Cena is Lex Luger.
Oh, wow.
Lex Luger is awesome, and John Cena is awesome, so I agree.
Fully
Raised Evil Twin is Devon.
Oh, fuck that shit.
We are not talking about TNA now.
You said wrestlers, any wrestler, anywhere. How about an evil twin of Shinsuke Nakamura, and he sucks?
You know, you were going on, and I just knew you were going to say Shinsuke. I don't know why. I just... what if...
Sin Cara had an evil twin.
It's done. It never happened.
It was not good.
Never.
No, I'm saying he did have an evil twin.
What if Carlito had an evil twin?
Oh, it was God. Primo. And then another evil twin came, yeah. And it was Epico.
I was going to say one of them was Unico, but no. Primo and Epico.
Mask wrestlers with evil twins pretty much happen, like, all the time.
That's true.
Like, Tiger Mask and Black Tiger. Is
or, like,
much
Rey Mysterio
twin.
And his evil twin. Or all those other, you know, evil twins that I'm going to name right now.
Jushin Liger and Super Liger.
Jushin Liger.
Who?
Actually, no. Edge had the Edge hats.
So wait a second. Yeah. If every masked wrestler has an evil twin, does that mean there's an evil CM Punk lurking around somewhere?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Evil CM Punk and good CM Punk are the same CM Punk.
Isn't there a isn't there this Mexican promotion that just has ripoffs of
Yeah.
WWE?
No, it's like Brazil or something.
No, I think it's Mexico. I think it's a Tijuana promotion. I have the photos on my computer.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I've seen them there.
The big shows,
the entire roster is just ripoffs of WWE.
Yeah, but they're not evil twins. They're all good guys, really good guys.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. And the big show is impossible to get up in the FU or put in an SDF.
What if Ole Anderson had an evil twin?
He wouldn't be a race spitter prick.
You'd probably be named Ole Anderson.
I think we're done with this topic.
He'd be named Young Anderson.
Topic number 6 is the feud of the week. This is an ECW feud from 2008, maybe?
Oh, God, it's from that ECW.
It's a new ECW feud. It's CM Punk versus Chavo Guerrero.
Oh, God damn it!
Matches
suck because Chavo Guerrero sucks.
Okay, but...
Come on, Chavo Guerrero got knocked in the fucking Mexico Bay.
He got go to sleep into the...
He got go to sleep into whatever... I think it was a body
of
water. Okay, he got sent into the Gulf of Mexico, and there was that awesome moment with Punk ripping off his mustache.
Okay, let's focus.
Oh my God, Evil CM Punk is a mariachi band player.
Let's focus on the things about this feud that are memorable. Wrestler got knocked into body of water.
Uh-huh.
This has been done by far more interesting wrestlers than Chavo Guerrero. Wrestler mariachi incident. This has been done with a far more interesting wrestler. This fucking feud sucked. Chavo Guerrero sucks. Let's talk about something else.
It was done with more interesting Guerrero, too.
That was also a launching... This is actually the feud of the
launching
point.
And a more interesting Paul Heyman client.
This was a launching point of the CM Punk winning the title off Edge, though, I think, wasn't it?
Wait. Maybe.
Was that the feud... Was CM Punk Chavo the feud where CM Punk declared his love for the Lope?
The what?
What?
The Lope. The cantaloupe.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
CM Punk loves cantaloupe.
Okay.
All right. I'll believe you.
He snags cantaloupe, and he just took a big bite, and he was like, I love cantaloupe. But then he disappeared off screen. I know this happened on ECW, but I don't remember when it was.
Is cantaloupe, like, sponsoring ECW that week? Oh, like, where fast food restaurants sponsor Raw? Like,
yeah, did cantaloupe? Big cantaloupe get their claws into people? Like, Big Avocado gets their claws into baseball?
I just remember there was like a little mini meme on the forum of CM Punk loves the Lope.
I do not remember this when I was working.
Are you sure this isn't just because of that Seinfeld gag where cantaloupe makes you want to have sex?
I'm completely sure.
That was a Seinfeld gag?
Yeah.
I don't remember that episode.
True story.
George took a bite of cantaloupe and he said, "I think it moved."
Oh. I've never watched Seinfeld.
Well, CM that needs to be cantaloupe.
I think it moved.
Well, that's just because Hulkamat doesn't like the Jews.
Wait.
Well, that's
wait a
true.
Second.
That's why Hulkamat really liked that whole Zeb Coulter thing from tonight.
I didn't see it. What happened tonight with Zeb Coulter?
I told you, he was talking about how much he liked Claudio's German heritage, and, you know, Germans had made some mistakes in the past, but they always had their heart in the right place.
He has a pure Aryan bloodline. Oh, hey,
is there another
feud
we talk about?
Oh. And then he plugged Headblade.com.
Headblade.com.
Did he plug Headblade?
No.
Oh.
So do we have anything else to say about CM Punk and Chavo Guerrero?
Well, I just want to say that I personally have not forgotten those matches. I'm joking.
I have.
CM Punk versus Morrison was a much better feud.
CM Punk versus
yeah,
anyone.
That was a much better feud. And those matches were, you know, good at best. Where the Chavo matches were Chavo Guerrero matches. Chavo Guerrero is a fucking uninteresting wrestler and a shitty person.
Where Chavo won all the time, too. Which is also bullshit. Because fuck, no one liked Chavo then.
Chavo Guerrero Jr.
Guys, I just found
worse than Austin Aries.
Guys, I just found it. That was CM Punk and John Morrison feud where CM Punk loved the lope.
Okay. Let's go on to topic number 7. This one is a question from Timbers Jim. He asks,
who's that? Well, you got to describe their avatar so I know who these people are.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, I'll start doing that.
And please get a please get a question from Cowboy Bob's Hep C so you can do that.
Timbers Jim asks, do any WWE gimmick matches still have any shred of credibility?
Royal Rumble.
What does his avatar look like?
I have no idea. He mentioned ladder matches and generic street fights as possibilities, but, I mean, you know, Hulkamat said the Royal Rumble. I think the Royal Rumble still has a fair amount of credibility.
Royal Rumble, it gets good buys.
How about the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
It's starting to get a little iffy, though, I think.
It's a good match, but it's like...
They're just throwing anybody in it now because they're running out of people.
Okay. They do two of them on the same show where, as your Boston Red Sox just fucking interrupted me, they do two of them on every show. One's not always a title match and just feels like they do too many.
Didn't they only do one this past February?
They did, and people were mad that there was only one.
I was very happy with that, actually.
A lot of people wanted to see the War Games one.
Oh, that's
War Games one.
That's true. That would have been nice, but...
We had a great match out of it, either way, though, so... Yeah.
That's true.
I think what would kill Elimination Chamber would be, like, just shitty people in it and the match being shit, too. And that's kind of sort of getting to the point.
Match hasn't been shit
in years. Yeah, Brian had a great match with Santino at the end of the Elimination Chamber.
What about the one where CM Punk kind of didn't really win? Because
I think what hurts
Jericho the cage.
I think what hurts the Elimination Chamber the most is it's right before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
As opposed to say a big gimmick match in I think the reason they have the Elimination Chamber is after that big 6-man Hell in a Cell at Armageddon, and I think they wanted to recreate that. So 2 years later, they just thought of the Elimination Chamber to do a big 6-man. And I think that should be more of a I'd say December, but even that might be a little too close to the Royal Rumble.
I've always been a proponent of doing the Elimination Chamber in early January and doing the Royal Rumble in early February, because, you know, I just don't like how the booking works out when you pick the Royal Rumble winner before you pick before you do the Elimination Chamber matches. Although, if you're only doing one Elimination Chamber, I really don't care. But when they were doing two, I thought the booking would work better the other way around.
I guess Money in the Bank is still very credible, even though I hate it. Love the match, hate the entire gimmick surrounding it at this point.
Yeah, I would agree that the Money in the Bank match is pretty credible.
I don't know. I think Hell in a Cell is more credible than Money in the Bank.
Hell in a Cell?
No.
I would disagree with that.
It is.
Hell in a Cell is like a horse that keeps getting beaten.
But Money in the Bank has been beaten and does no buys on pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell has been beaten to death and it does buys on pay-per-view.
The thing...
And it feels like a big feud-ending match when done right.
Except now they do the start feuds.
The last one,
like
really
the
good.
Ryback Punk match, like part of the reason that did buys was because oh my god, it's in Hell in the Cell. Someone's going to have to take a pinfall here.
Mm-hmm. This also goes Ryback change. Like, oh, what's going to happen?
Was that the last Hell in the Cell? I was thinking Taker.
No, I think there might have been one after that, maybe.
No, that's been the was the last Hell in the Cell to this point.
That's true.
Yes, that was in October of last year.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. That's wrong.
I mean, I think that Taker Triple H actually helped reestablish the credibility for Hell in a Cell a little bit.
Totally,
I'm sure they'll ruin
that.
It this year. I'm sure like they'll do something stupid. But I mean, Hell in a Cell was on like a 2 week between pay per view thing for like 2 years, and I mean, it still did like a little better than your usual B show. It was very slightly, but like it wasn't the worst performing B show of the year, despite being on a 2 week delay between pay per views, which is just atrocious.
Oh my god,
so,
it's really bad. Yeah,
I mean, it did really well last year, and I think the way Ryback has drawn on pay per view since shows a lot of that was the Hell in a Cell, because Ryback hasn't drawn on pay per view since then.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's Ryback.
I was gonna say, I think what helps, I mean, I guess what doesn't help, but what makes it so seems like the Hell in a Cell is like kind of devalued is that there's no long build up to the Hell in a Cell matches either sometimes because of the 2 week period. So people are just like, Hell in a Cell, here we go again, and we don't need a Hell in a Cell, and then it's like, okay, it happened, whatever.
I think everybody likes a ladder match too. It's just they got to a point where they were done to death.
There are an awful lot of them, yeah.
The Money in the Bank
like
definitely
the
does
TLC,
not need to be a pay-per-view.
We have the TLC
TLCs
match.
Are good.
We have the Money in the Bank match. We have random ladder matches.
I think TLCs are still over as a decent match.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Sure.
You want to name three matches that aren't over? Sure. How about lumberjack matches, tables matches, and ambulance matches?
Well, we want tables.
Only time tables were over was because Dudley Boyz.
Tables are over. Tables matches are not.
That's people true. Just want to see people put through multiple
unless
tables,
the Dudley,
not one.
Unless the Dudleys were involved, there's really...
That's true.
They want to see him go through multiple tables and not just one.
Tables matches do rank as my like least favorite gimmick match next to First Blood matches. Man, this three stages of hell...
It's gonna be so bad.
It can't possibly be a First Blood match for like one of the stips, but the only way it could be worse if one of the stips was a First Blood match.
A Four Stages of Hell and just First Blood just pops in there.
Now let me ask you guys a question.
And then, wait, you could do a fifth stage. What's another really terrible gimmick match? A chairs
match!
Chairs matches are terrible.
Chairs is goofy, but could it be like a strat match again? Because those are like never good.
That's not true.
Okay, there's some good ones. Older ones are good.
Sting Vader.
People that know how to work them are good.
Let me ask you guys a question about this gimmick. The casket match.
What about Buried Alive?
Did that ever
As stop? Far as superstar-specific matches go, I think the casket match is the best one.
What about Buried Alive compared to that?
It's way better than Buried Alive.
Casket matches are way better than Buried Alive matches.
What about a sarcophagus match? Because let me tell you...
That would have been the trademark match of the Yeti!
The Yeti! Oh. Oops.
Indie coffin matches are really drag. They really drag.
Buried Alive match. Did the casket or Buried Alive matches draw at all?
Maybe depending on Undertaker's opponent and if it's his big return.
I remember thinking, go on.
I think they drew on house shows.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a casket match that wasn't on an otherwise big show. Like, there have been a couple on Royal Rumble, and there was one at WrestleMania.
There was one that wasn't on a house show, that was, like, I think on a house show or some minor show that was Jerry Lawler versus Undertaker in a casket match. And that probably had a draw a little bit, even though it was Jerry Lawler. But the casket was really gaudy, too. It had, like, rhinestones all over it and shit for Jerry Lawler.
Let's go on to topic number 8, and I'm going to butcher your name again, dude. I'm so sorry. Tell us how to pronounce it. This is a question from I don't know. I'm sorry.
What's the avatar look like?
I have no idea. If Triple H never got together with Stephanie McMahon, would the main event scene from 2000 to 2008 have been substantially different? And if so, who do you think would have been more prominently pushed?
I think Booker T would have gotten a title. Wait, what years?
2000 to 2008. So basically the time Triple H was full-time and in the main event.
I think Booker T would have won. I think Booker T would have beaten Triple H for the title.
Probably. My general thought here is that Triple H himself still would have been a main eventer and still would have been probably one of the biggest guys in the company. Mm-hmm. So it's more about figuring out how the guys who interacted with Triple H would have been pushed differently, and also how, you know, guys Triple H either liked or didn't like would have fared in their feuds, not even involving him.
God, I kind of have to look at the title history.
I think
Triple H would have been fine.
Yeah, Triple H would have been fine. I think the first angle that really comes to mind is...
There just wouldn't be any more, like, McMahon weird angles like that.
Oh, yeah. But one that I think would have, if you think the on-screen product is still the same, even if backstage Triple H and Stephanie aren't a couple, I think the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle love triangle would have had a different ending.
But they weren't together then, were they?
I think they were.
I don't think they were together in real life at that point. I don't know. When did they get married? 2001?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. Okay.
Here's why I don't think the period would have changed too much. After the Triple H, The Rock ladder match, much of the WWE brass saw that match as Triple H's coming out party. Like, okay. They thought that this was his star-making performance. And, I mean, when you look at that, like, Triple H started getting his big push before, like, he and Stephanie were a thing. So, I mean, I think he's just someone that the WWE has always been high on and was always going to get a big push. And unless him hooking up with Stephanie led to Steve Austin and The Rock, you know, leaving the company, and, you know, if somehow them not getting together leads to The Rock being around or Steve Austin being around, he's still going to be the sole survivor of the Attitude Era, and he's going to be the biggest star until, you know, some other big stars come around.
I think his title reigns wouldn't have been as
numerous,
frequent.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at individual things, and it's just as a byproduct of Triple H generally gaining power within the company, and you have to wonder if that would have happened if he was Stephanie's husband, and the answer is probably not. So.
I think
the whole McMahon Hemsley era probably wouldn't happen.
I think Evolution still would have been a thing.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, you look at individual feuds or moments, you know, I don't think he would have squashed London and Kendrick like he did, but really did that do anything? I don't think, you know, maybe the Jeff Hardy feud goes different. Maybe the Sheamus feud goes different. The Booker T feud probably goes different.
I don't see how those things would affect if he married him or not, if he married Stephanie or not. Like, the things that would affect him would be how he got, I think, over as a heel, face, whatever, because what really helped him get over, I think, was all the McMahon stuff. Like, there was the McMahon feud with Vince, where Stephanie turns on Vince, And then there's the whole McMahon-Helmsley era that pretty much shoved Triple H up into the main event, basically. And how does he get in there instead? Does he continue riding DX coattails or something?
But he wasn't with Stephanie when the Stephanie angle started.
Yeah, I know, but like...
But would it have gone on so long? Would it have been such a pervasive part of the programming for the last almost decade and a half now?
I don't feel like him being married to Stephanie has been like a pervasive thing. Like the only time it's been a thing is when Stephanie is on screen and they go, "Hey, Triple H, woo woo, they're married, kind of, but not really." Until they recently went, "Yeah, they're married, whatever. Who gives a shit?"
It would save us from some really bad angles.
I don't know. Yeah. Would you like to see?
Oh my God, the Triple H Chris Jericho feud.
Yeah,
doesn't happen or is so much better.
What about Kurt Angle versus Triple H?
The Kurt Angle feud too. Uh-huh. But yeah, the Jericho feud. Oh my God.
What about the Orton versus Triple H one where Triple H RKO'd all the McMahons and kissed Stephanie?
Does Kurt Angle go to TNA? Does Christian? Does Eddie Guerrero die?
Does Kurt Angle go to TNA? Because would he get a concussion from that match that kind of might have screwed him up for a little bit later in his career?
Wait, this makes me think. Did Triple H and Eddie ever feud?
I
think they were on separate shows, so they never.
They probably had one match or two matches.
I think the only way they would have feuded was... the only way they kind of feuded was when the Radicals came in and they had those matches and then immediately teamed up with Triple H.
That's right.
And even then it was Triple H and Benoit.
Yeah.
Eddie
fucked up.
I think Eddie and Triple H had maybe one match or something like that on some random Raw.
I'm sure they've had a match. It's more of
Either they were both champions or some like trade show or something maybe and they had the match.
That's a feud that got away.
That's a shame.
Oh, and guys, I've got an update for you. Mm-hmm. I before E's avatar custom title thing is Stupid Newbie.
Nice.
Oh, good.
I'll update you if I find that other guy.
Wonderful.
You know what I just remembered?
What?
The Inferno match is a shitty match that...
Yeah, that's another shitty match.
I wonder if it would have credibility, though.
It doesn't have credibility at all.
No,
I don't think so. Topic number 9 is a question from Blue Army Man, and before you ask, no, I don't know what his avatar looks like. Considering how many new stars WWE has signed from them, can we say that the independent territories, you know, ROH and the like, are basically this generation's equivalent of the old territory system?
Wait, repeat that?
Are the indies like the territories? Like... pulling people from the indies and taking their talent, and then the indies kind of dying because all the good talent's gone.
So, but that's not what the territories were. The territories were more of an equal thing where, you know, there were a few that were bigger than others, but, you know, there wasn't, like, upward movement. There was circular movement where guys went from one place to another, or some guys just stayed in the same place, like Lawler. Or the Sheik until he, you know, destroyed his territories somewhere else. But, I don't think they're the same at all. That's why I was asking to repeat it. Cause I was like, no, that question can't be as simple. I must've just misheard something.
I always kind of felt they seemed similar, like on paper or like at like plain face view, like just looking at it like, oh, well. You have AWA and you have the NWA, then there's ROH, and then there's whatever the fuck the other one is. And no, they seem similar, kinda. I mean, but I guess, like, until you actually sit down and pay attention to it, it's really different.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, if you were living in Memphis, you had one choice of a pro wrestling company to see, or to be exposed to at all. But now, you know, we're all in the northeast of the United States, but I think I can safely say that many of us have watched and are aware of and are even fans of a West Coast Fed like PWG. Mm-hmm. You know, the internet has made it so that, yes, you can't go and see PWG live unless they come out this way for whatever reason, but you can still watch all their stuff and you can still follow it. you know, or someone who's in Seattle can watch and follow ROH, even though ROH is mostly East Coast or the Midwest or something, you know? I don't think, in that respect, I don't think it's as geographically limiting as the territory system was.
We gotta remember, back then there was like no TV and shit.
Exactly, there was no TV, so. There was obviously no internet.
Wait, what? There was no TV?
Well, I mean, there was
TV.
No,
come on.
There was no TV, wrestling but... on this national TV that someone in Seattle could watch a wrestling show that was happening in Atlanta.
I mean, I agree in principle, although there were exceptions. Like, there were cities that got several territories worth of TV. Like, Philadelphia got almost everywhere.
Oh, of course. You know, if you lived in Philadelphia or if you lived in New York, your choices were broader. But if you live in, you know...
I don't know if your choices were that much broader in New York.
But, you know, if you live in the hick parts of East Texas where there isn't a huge metropolitan area around you or whatever... You know, you see what I'm saying.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think the answer to the question is no.
Okay. Topic number 10 comes from Rodney the Piper.
What's his avatar?
I have no idea. He asks.
You agree that it would be a good idea to tell us what the avatars were?
It would, but I don't have something awful open right now.
God damn it. I'm going to find what this guy's avatar is.
I've already got it. Rodney the Piper doesn't have an avatar, just goodbye, Cena.
Well, there you go. He asks, can TNA be saved? If so, how? We just need suggestions.
Hopefully by dying.
We just need suggestions.
Last thing on the list. We just need TV. We just need a second hour. We just need a third hour. We just need Hulk Hogan. We just need Christian. We just need Matt Hardy. We just need Sting. We just need suggestions. Help.
Can TNA be saved?
I guess the question is really, can TNA be saved, or do you have to salt the earth and just destroy everything?
You can't even salt the earth. You just it has to be a new promotion in general, and not just TNA promotion. It can't be related to TNA at all. It has to be like a brand new promotion. There has to be a brand new promotion to take TNA's place.
I think TNA's, while they have I guess they have a name, I also think that they've worn out every single, what was the term Brian used? Golden carrot. Every golden carrot was dangled in front of them. They eventually got it, and then nothing changed.
They have a 2-hour weekly show on a national cable network. They have, for the most part, a really talented roster. They have some of the biggest names in the history of professional wrestling, and they're terrible. They're unwatchable. They do the same audience every week, and there's no hope because they're horrible.
They turn people off for a very long time, and now when their programming is like improved to the point where it's like okay, it's you don't even want to watch it for the train wreck value. It's just like, whatever, nothing on this show matters. I think that's the vibe TNA gives a lot of people. Nothing matters here. Everyone knows it's second place, and I think we've pretty much lost, everyone's lost hope that it could ever, the only way it would catch WWE if WWE collapsed.
Yeah, if TNA like, catches WWE, it is because the wrestling industry is dead.
If TNA catches, like, I remember when Kurt went to TNA and he started spouting all of his we're gonna reach SmackDown and like we're gonna get closer to SmackDown in, like 5 years, and he was right because the SmackDown rating is tanked and it's doing like 1.7s or whatever.
When was the last time TNA did a 1.7?
It never did.
Exactly. When was the last time TNA did a 1.3?
Last year?
2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah. What? TNA is not going to catch SmackDown.
Unless SmackDown comes to it.
Oh. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, what is the absolute ceiling for TNA? If TNA starts firing on all cylinders with good creative booking and fantastic matches every single week, it would take them 2 years to get up to a 1.5 at this point. There is so much ill will. There is so much ground that has already been covered. There is so much shit that they've already done and people they've already completely alienated who will never go back. They can't find that much of a new audience. I think the answer to the question is no. If you want a legitimate number two to actually compete with WWE, it has to be a whole new company with whole new booking and, for the most part, a whole new roster, because even all of these guys have been ruined.
I think a big thing is for you're right, all those guys have kind of been ruined and they've all faced each other a million times. And another thing is, TNA, throughout its history, seems to have always have had one storyline, and that's there's a faction taken over. And I think that's, like, there's been so many over the years. There's Main Event Mafia, which is basically their one of their many shots in an NWO. And
they're all NWO.
Hey, you know what's funny? It also ended like NWO in that the Main Event Mafia kept winning and winning and winning, and they dropped
until
the
they just implode.
No,
they implode on themselves.
And
they're getting back together.
Yeah, spoilers.
And there's Aces and Eights, and there was the Band, and there was Fortune, and weren't they actually? Wasn't there one that they were actually calling the NWO at one point?
That was the Band.
And that was fucking great. Hogan's like, oh, brother, we're gonna bring TNA to the top, brother. I'm not gonna do all that stuff you think I'm gonna do, brother.
Yeah, then, that was the very first show, wasn't it? Like, their very first Monday Night Live show.
And they
had a fucking NWO reunion with Nash and Hall and X-Pac.
And yeah, fucking Hogan's the like, Nasty fuck Boys, Bubba the Love Sponge, and all those people. It was
and then eventually it turns into NWO with Hulk Hogan leading Immortal.
Yeah. And Abyss, fucking Abyss, that character, holy shit. They're doing a thing with Abyss right now where he's, I guess his alter ego is Joe Park. I don't know, because sometimes they like to, there was a segment once where Abyss and Joe Park were in the ring at the same time. But Abyss's fucking character around that time, holy shit. It was like, he was once a, the biggest hardcore wrestler in TNA. And around this time, he's such a big fan of Hulk Hogan. He's such a big fucking fan of Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan
is he like a dog or a cat or a teddy bear you're talking about?
Hulk Hogan gives him his WWE Hall of Fame ring, and he has the power of the Hulkster, but he's also clinically retarded, and he's like, Peter on Family Guy, he's a really good guy. He's misunderstood. He's a real person also. Just like, what? Abyss, you're... It's been a bad show for a very long time. I think there needs to be a, I don't know, new station, new promotion, new everything. New people in charge, new wrestlers.
MRT, what do you have to say?
Here is the way that TNA, the question is, can TNA be salvaged, or like, can TNA be a competitor?
Let's go with salvaged.
Ooh, because I think the answer to that is, like, salvaged as in be a viable business, or be a good, like, a good wrestling product?
A good wrestling product that cannot hemorrhage money.
Okay, the answer to that is no. I have an interesting answer to the other one, though.
Okay.
Okay, I think TNA as a business can be salvaged because, like, look at how many stupid idiots there are that defend TNA to the death and, like, try and emphasize or overemphasize or just lie about everything good as if TNA ever did anything good. Everything good that TNA has ever done. Remember that period last year where, you know, TNA supposedly had some good shows? Objectively speaking, those, if we go by form consensus, those seem to last about 2.5 months from, right after lockdown to, I think like mid-August where Aces and Eights started just ruining the show. And if you listen to the fucking idiots who just love TNA and will say anything to defend that, even though I really don't like TNA, guys, I'm not like white knighting it all the time. I swear to God. But oh my God, I love this show. This show is so good. Guys, did you see Lockdown last year? Lockdown was great. Lockdown, at the time, like, everyone was making fun of that horrible finish they had where they fucking did the fuck finish in the cage and James Storm lost again. And they were just gonna, you know, give him the big win at Bound for Glory, but they didn't. But now, you know, according to some of the fucking TNA fanboys, Lockdown was a great show. So if you have these fucking idiots who love this show, these fucking stupid people who buy TNA shows, these fucking sociopaths who buy TNA shows and support this company that's so fucking monstrous, if you can find, like, people this stupid, like, there are lots of stupid people out there. Like, there's more stupid people than the handful of retards who watch TNA on our forum and love TNA and tell you that, like, TNA last year for, like, the entire year was great. It was great. Like, 2.5 months or maybe 3 months have become, like, 6 months. It was the best show on TV. You can't imagine how great this show was. If you can find, like, those kind of idiots, I think the key to making TNA a viable business is do some marketing research on these fucking idiots who like this show. Go out, contact them, email them, go to the fucking Wii U threads where Lone Rogue is trying to white knight everything Nintendo does. And I love Nintendo, and I can't believe how fucking retarded he is. Go there, contact him, go to the TNA thread, and contact everyone who's saying how great TNA was last year to all levels of unreasonability. Because, you know what, I'm sure that if you haven't subscribed to the mindset that I have, that TNA has never been good and never will be good, even those, like, few months of 2005 that, like, I'm pretty sure that were good, great or whatever, it couldn't have been because that was TNA. Anyway, find those people in that thread who think TNA is good and defend it, and just find out whatever, like, condition they have, whatever mental disabilities they have, and just market your product to people like that, because there are lots of people like that in the world. There are lots of people like that. So just market your product exclusively to them, and I think TNA could have a very viable business. They just have to figure out exactly what makes the idiots who like their program tick and just fucking do an ad blitz on them.
Okay. That works. That sounds viable.
Yeah.
Now, there'll never be a good wrestling company like that, though.
Oh, no, no. The answer to that part of the question is no.
Okay. All right. As long as we agree in agreement on that.
Yeah. I mean, the TNA could never possibly be good.
All right. I think that is going to do it for us here on the 10 count.
And remember to please donate to Ditch at DavidD@DeltaSquare.com. Keep that site on the web.
All right. We'll see you next time. Future, yeah. Don't you sell me.